Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and your spirit. We ask that as we hear from your word now and as we hear it explained, that you'd be working in all of us, that we may become better disciples of you. Amen. It's just loading, I think. We can get started. Okay. Cool. Okay, apparently an American radio station interviewed the British ambassador and asked the British ambassador what he would like for Christmas. And wanting to show that he was a modest man and not an extravagant man, he said, "I would be perfectly satisfied with some slippers and some nice fresh socks." The next day, he opened his paper to read that the French ambassador was hoping that this Christmas that all wars would cease. The German ambassador was hoping for good relationships among the members of the United Nations, and the British ambassador was hoping for slippers and fresh socks. Now I tell you that joke, that didn't actually happen. I tell you that because how you respond is incredibly important. You need to be alert. See, at Christmas, we remembered that God entered our world, and how we respond to that is very important. If we allow ourselves to be distracted by the good things, we can often miss the best things. And the best thing about Christmas is that God, in all of his majesty, came down and dwelt with us. What does it mean for someone to say, "I am with you"? When people say that they're with you, that is an incredible thing. No matter what life throws at you, one of the great joys in life is to hear that the people who are closest to you are with you, in the good and the bad, in sickness and in health. And if that's what it means for us to hear that, for us to be with each other, what does it mean for God to be with us? I don't know if you picked up in the passage from Matthew 1. This is what it says. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. What does it mean for God to be with us? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Well, I think one of the reasons Matthew included this narrative about the birth of Jesus in his gospel, which we've just had read out, is to show us what it means for God to be with us. And I think this narrative shows us three things. Firstly, I think it shows us that God is with us in all the good of life. But it also shows us that God is with us in the bad that we experience in life. But there's also something else in this passage. See, Matthew wants us to know that God is not simply with us in the good and the bad, but he's actually solved our biggest problem that we have in this world. So our third point is, he is with us despite our sin. And the key question in all of this is, if God is with us, how are you going to respond to him? So let's get started. Let's have a look at point one. God is with us in the good. There is so much good about Christmas, isn't there? I think especially if you have a child or a grandchild, it is just impossible not to get caught up in all of the excitement of decorating the house, decorating the Christmas tree, giving and getting presents. But then as you get older, the thrill becomes more about seeing family, eating Christmas dinner. And then when you start working, well, it could just be the thrill of a few days off. There's lots of good things about Christmas, isn't there? One of the most enduring images of Christmas is of the manger scene. the nativity scene. You can usually see in shopping centres and outside some people's houses. This year, my wife and my four-year-old son, my three-year-old, almost four-year-old son, decided to make their own nativity scene, and this is it. Now, there's lots to like. There's lots to like about it, isn't there? All of the characters look fairly stunned, don't they? I think that's the right expression. In particular, one shepherd on the left there is particularly surprised, isn't he? And William is convinced that the angel is actually wearing a basketball hoop as well. That's not a... Anyway. But if you were to think about the Christmas story, this is the image, or one maybe slightly like it. This is what you'd probably think of. And we can see these things in the story that we've had out, the numerous stories that we've had read out tonight. We can see those things. I mean, there is some drama between Mary and Joseph, but it all works out in the end, doesn't it? And before long, someone's taking a picture of my... Okay. No worries, some ideas. Okay. But before long, you know, Mary and Joseph, they're looking down on this lovely child that's been brought into the world. And the shepherds too, they're in the story, in the Luke passage we had read out earlier. They're there, they're full of stunned joy. And then there's the angel looking down approvingly and smiling at the peaceful scene. Just like our Christmas, there's lots of good things about this Christmas story, isn't there? But it's at the centre of this, story, there is a character that I'd like to draw your attention to. Right? And it's the child. Although this is not an ordinary child, is it? In our reading from Matthew 1, he is called Emmanuel, God with us. I'm not sure what you think about God. Most people in Australia would warm, I think, to the idea that there is something spiritual out there. But maybe to claim to be able to know who or what that spiritual entity is, whatever you call it, it's impossible to know for certain. And it can even sound arrogant to be able to claim that you know what it is. The Bible says that the God of the universe was placed in that manger. That the God of the universe can be known, indeed made himself known, so that we could know him. And notice that this is different from all other religions. Other religions are started by a man, always a man, who claims that they've received a revelation from an angel, like Muhammad or Joseph Smith, or they've thought and reflected for a long time and become wise, like Buddha. But here, Christianity is claiming to be started by God himself. And what this means is that we do not need to go around guessing. The God of the universe, the God of the Bible, is a real, personal, powerful God who has stepped into our universe and revealed himself to us as Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to draw your attention to. What does it mean for God to be with us? Well, all the goodness and the joy of life points towards a creator who created that joy, who personifies that joy. And that is the first part of the story, isn't it? But very quickly, this narrative descends into a story about pain and suffering. We're at point two, God is with us in the pain. As we've seen, the arrival of Jesus, God with us, into this world is accompanied by a lot of good things which happen at Christmas time. But the surprising thing is that as we go on in the narrative, and as you read further than what we did in Matthew 2, the Christmas story becomes a lot more dark. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Now, it's fair to say that this is part of the Christmas story, which is usually left out of our nativity scenes, isn't it? It's certainly left out of my nativity scene. But Matthew doesn't leave it out of his, does he? He includes it. Why is that? The answer, I think, is because Matthew wants to show us what it really means for God to be with us. He's showing us that Jesus isn't entering a perfect world. He's showing us that Jesus is entering our world. See, as much as Christmas is a good time of year, you and I, we both know that it is also a hard time. And as much as it reminds us of the good, it also reminds us of the bad. Yes, Christmas is a time for family, but it's also a time when we grieve family members not with us. Yes, it's a time to gather together, but it's also a time of great loneliness for many of us. And it's now a time where, as of a week and a half ago, 16 families will forever remember Christmas as a time when they lost loved ones. See, Matthew's Christmas is far more realistic, isn't it? Because Jesus isn't entering a make-believe world, an imaginary world, a perfect world. Right? Jesus is entering our world with all its good and with all its bad. Right? And this is going to be a theme which will mark Jesus' ministry. Jesus is God with us, encountering our pain and encountering our grief. Right? He doesn't ignore it. He isn't distant to it. He feels it. Right? He experiences it. One of the songs we've sung tonight, "Oh Holy Night," puts it very helpfully this way. The King of Kings lay thus in lonely manger. In all our trials, born to be our friend, he knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." So this Christmas, remember, okay, God is not distant from our pain and suffering, but he was born right in the midst of it. He experienced it himself, and he now lives and is able to sympathize with us in our loneliness and in our grief. Point three, with us despite our sin. So if that is the case, that God exists, but at the same time pain and suffering exists, the natural question then to ask, flowing on from what we've said, is, well, what is God doing about it? The answer lies in understanding what is actually wrong with the world. In about 1910, the Times newspaper in London ran a piece which asked the readers this question and invited them to give an answer. They asked, "What is wrong with the world?" Many people replied and were published in the newspaper, but one of the answers stood out from the rest. While many gave wordy political or humanitarian answers, a man called G.K. Chesterton replied, "Dear sir, I am." Yours, G.K. Chesterton. The Bible says that our biggest problem, the answer to the question why the world is the way it is because of our sin. See, sin is a word that we use to describe the bad things we do and the good things that we don't do. But it also describes our rebellion against God. See, the Bible says that God made the world perfect. But the Bible also says that we have all rejected God as the ruler of the world, and instead, we wish to rule it in our own lives, ourselves. And in rejecting God as the ruler of the world, we ruin this world. And we can see the effects of sin in our relationships, in the terrible events which happen in our city, and the death and destruction we see in our world. But that's not all. See, God is good, but God is also just. See, God isn't like Grandpa at Christmas, who says, "Well, the kid's acting up, it's okay, just sweep it under the carpet." He cares about how you are treated and what happens in the world. He can't just sweep sin under the carpet and pretend it doesn't exist. he must also judge it. And friends, in light of the week that we've had, can I say that this is a really important point? Because what this means is that the way that I treat you and the way that you treat me matters to God. There are people here who have been appallingly treated. And the fact that God judges sin shows that the way that those people have been treated, the way that you have been treated, matters to God. It shows us that what happened at Bondi matters to God. It shows that all the evil in this world, all the suffering and pain, it matters to God. Because he will judge it. And it also means that he will judge me and he will judge you. But Jesus has entered our world. And so, friends, please do not miss this point. We've talked about one of the names Jesus is given, Emmanuel, God with us. This name shows us that God has stepped into our world and knows us, lived with us, understands us, knows our pain, knows our grief, and is not indifferent to it. But look back at the passage we'd read earlier, because we read, can you believe this? In Matthew 1, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Right? So friends, do not look past God's gift to you this Christmas. We can get so caught up with meaningless things at Christmas. There's so many distractions. There's Santa, there's reindeer, presents, Christmas ham. This is what's really important about Christmas. There is our sin. There is God's anger at it. There is God's judgment because of it. But Jesus has come to save us. And this is why Jesus entered our world. He came into our world to deal with our sin. How? when I was a kid, I was given a magnifying glass. And I loved walking around and staring at all sorts of things, including spiders, beetles, worms, and ants. And it wasn't long before I realized that magnifying glasses could not just be used for looking at something. And just for staring, I quickly found that I could catch the sun's rays and then focus them on insects and watch them fry. At the cross, it was as if God held up this huge magnifying glass over Jesus and focused all of his anger and judgment on Jesus. For the gossip, the hatred, the lust, the anger, the self-centeredness that's in my heart, let alone your hearts. And can you imagine it? All focused all the way down until it hit one man on the cross. So that those who trust in Jesus, those who follow Jesus, can be saved. At Christmas, God says, I'm going to send my son to die so that you can be forgiven. See, in the world we live, we need not only someone who sees our pain and understands our suffering, we need someone who's going to be able to save us and offer a solution. Jesus comes to save and bring us back to God so we no longer need to live in this world of sin. In 2012, in Newtown, Connecticut, there was a horrible mass shooting in a school. An American theologian by the name of John Piper wrote this in response, and I think in light of the events at Bondi, I think it applies well to us. Mass murder is why Jesus came into the world the way he did. What kind of saviour do we need when our hearts are shredded by brutal loss? We need a suffering saviour. We need a saviour who has tasted the cup of horror we are being forced to drink. And that is how he came. He knew what this world needed. Not a comedian, not a sports hero, not a movie star, not a political genius, not a doctor, not even a pastor. The world needed what no mere man could be. The world needed a suffering sovereign. Mere suffering would not do, mere sovereignty would not do. The one is not strong enough to save, the other is not weak enough to sympathize. So he came as who he was, the compassionate king, the crushed conqueror, the lamb-like lion, the suffering sovereign. At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that Jesus entered our world of pain to fix our problem of sin so that we can live with God. And that's what Matthew 2 is all about. Jesus enters our world, God with us, to fix our world, to pay the price for our sins so that we can live with God. The question is, how will you respond to God's gift to you? And to help us, Matthew has given us two responses in our passage. The first response to God being with us is Herod's. Herod is the king, and he wants to let nothing stop him from being the king. So when the king of the universe is born, how does he respond? He opposes Jesus. This Christmas, please understand God has entered our world. He is with us in the good, the bad, and despite our sin, he is with us. To oppose him now means to meet him as judge later and without any saviour. Oppose him now and you will meet him as your judge. Or there is the second response, and this is the wise response. The second response is like the wise men. The wise men got it. They were overjoyed. Did you see their response? They went on their way. Went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. The right response to God being with us is to worship him, to recognize him as Savior and Lord and live with him and for him and find the great joy that comes in being in relationship with him. So can I ask you, do you get it? This joy can be yours too. Now, if you'd like to find out more about who Jesus is, we have a wonderful series starting in midterm 1, February 23, called Discover. It goes for 5 weeks and it covers all you need to know about Jesus. Come along and find out who Jesus really is if you'd like to know more. But let's thank God now for the gift of his son this Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you came into this world as God with us. We thank you that you came into this world to save your people from their sins. Help us to receive this gift of your son with thanksgiving and like the wise men, the Magi, worship him as our Lord and Saviour. Amen.